Wolf, get away from that computer.
Bollocks. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Surfshark. All you need in a VPN and more. Surfshark doesn't only increase online privacy, but it also helps you avoid hackers. If you ever use a public Wi-Fi hotspot, you should be using Surfshark to protect yourself from hackers by encrypting your online data. Surfshark also helps you access entertainment because the content you see is sometimes limited by your geographical location. Can't find something to watch on Netflix or other streaming services? You can unlock new libraries with Surfshark. You'll be able to access everything from news sources to social media apps that were previously unavailable to you. All you have to do is change your virtual location and access all the entertainment you want safely and securely. And you can try out Surfshark completely risk-free because they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/wolf. By using my name, Wolf, as the promo code. You not only get 83% off, but your first 3 months are free. We use it, and you should too. That's surfshark.deals/wolf. A great VPN. Secure your digital life today.
Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. Broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, we're going to talk about the first year of Biden. I mean, wait, every once in a while, we got to get a little political because, I mean, we live in the United States and politics go on. And, you know, sometimes we want to discuss that. I don't think it's any secret kind of where our politics lie. We're not trying to hide them, but we're willing to listen to just about anybody and what's going on. And just to let everybody know, later on in the show, Grant Stinchfield from Newsmax Media is actually going to be joining us. But let's talk about what's been going on, last night? The big Biden press conference, the three-hour press conference that he had.
Yeah, now it was the first big conference he's had in almost a year. I think his inauguration speech was the last speech of any length, and last night he went on for about 3 hours.
Yeah, and by the way, he was inaugurated almost a year ago. I mean, we're kind of close to the one-year anniversary, right, so to speak.
Yeah, so he's up for his one-year review. If you had a normal job, this would be the amount of time passing before they decide whether they're going to fire you and replace you with a robot.
Well, I never gave you a one-year review.
I did one of those
with the podcast.
I did one of those 360 self-review things, you know, where you review yourself and say, I advise that you give this employee a 19% pay rise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're making 19 cents now.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. An hour.
Yeah, that's big money.
It is. So one of the things which struck me about Biden's speech last night, it was very reverse engineered to try and fit his promises in his inauguration speech.
How so?
Well, everybody makes these promises that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to lead the country to this, I'm going to lead the country to that. And I don't care
I'm going to make my bed. Yeah. I'm going to mow the grass. Mm. Don't worry, Dad. Yeah. I'm going to do all these things if you'll just buy me this.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, every politician, whether they're on the left or the right, they say what they think people want to hear to be popular, right? So to get voted in, I've got to say things people want to hear, even if I don't necessarily believe them in my heart. You know, historically, there's been a lot of changes on factors such as gay marriage. I mean, you know, you go back 15, 20 years ago, famously, the Clintons were very against it. A lot of conservative politicians were very against it. But, you know, as the gay movement gained momentum and, you know, it wasn't a case of the numbers swelling. It was just like the public numbers and, you know, audience there increased. They realized, okay, this might be a huge section of our voting block. So now we've got to say we've changed our views and opinions on certain things we came out pretty steadfast against.
Right. So one group I can guarantee you that was never against gay marriage, divorce attorneys.
Well,
because that just multiplied the amount of potential clients.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you have gay marriage, you're going to have gay divorces. So those divorce attorneys had to say, yes, we want that legalized because that just gives them more access to more clients.
It would be a bit difficult to be a specialist in that area because what you
Why?
Put, well, what you put as your name, gay divorce attorney, it's like, I don't care what your sexuality is, dude. It's just hard how you put it in there that your speciality is gay divorce.
I wonder if there are specialists, though.
Yeah. I like to say it's just hard to kind of like put.
Well, yeah. No, I see your point. But if you stop and think about it, though, I mean, there's niches for all kinds of attorneys.
Right.
I mean, there's agents, you know, that are attorneys for sports people. They're probably different than actors.
Yeah.
But they could do the same thing.
You got to be careful with your tagline, though.
It's like, I bet there's gay divorce attorneys.
Gay, tired of your man, get in touch with me. You see, even that sounds dodgy.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. I never thought about it that way.
It sounds dodgy, whichever way you're trying to advertise it.
Yeah, but what if you're a female divorce attorney and you specialize in gay male divorces? Mm. Now you take the innuendo out.
Right.
Oh, she'd have to be straight, though, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did feel that Biden reverse engineered to make it seem like he had, you know, fulfilled everything he had promised in the inauguration speech. You know, when he first started, you know, his inauguration speech, he made this big deal about climate change. It's the biggest danger the world faces today.
Outside Kathleen Kennedy running the Star Wars
franchise. Right, outside of her running that into the ground and milking it for all it's worth. I'll tell you what, the transportation secretary, apparently he's pretty good at breastfeeding. He can provide some milk.
Who's that?
The Pete.
Oh, is that dude?
Yeah. The one who took three months off to breastfeed while the whole supply chain crisis was in full.
But nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't know outside of rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, which I think we have. Outside of that, I don't know what we've done climate-wise. I mean, I know we tried to pass through all this Build Back Better thing with all these environmental add-ons. Still not entirely sure what's going to happen if every vehicle on the road is electric and there's a like 10-hour traffic jam because of roads being closed.
Because right. Like,
what happens then, you know?
Then they're all going to lose the battery power.
Right.
Although I'm a fan of electric cars. I love electric cars. Mm-hmm. I think Teslas are fantastic automobiles. But then you have those issues. I mean, even in a regular car, you can sit there in traffic and run out of gas, too, just like an electric car can run out of battery. I mean, that can happen.
Yeah.
So just going on the record, I mean, Elon Musk, if you want to go ahead and sponsor our podcast, buy Tesla and give us free Teslas, we are not going to walk away from that. Absolutely not.
Or you can give us a satellite.
Well, your Tesla would have to have the steering wheel on the wrong side, though.
No, I just want one of the ones which drives for me. Steering wheel.
Oh, no steering
wheel. No steering wheel.
Do you want to sit right in the middle?
Just a queen-size bed in there.
Well, so if you got into a Tesla that was full self-driving, would you sit on the passenger seat so you feel more at home?
I'll just lay down.
Sleep. In the back seat. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I look at the climate thing and I think, well, nothing's really changed, has it?
No.
Nothing has changed. I mean, we've come a year. All right. We've moved from energy independence to now relying on countries which hate us and countries which are on the brink of war with various other countries.
Sure.
So we've managed to get there. But outside of that, I mean, not an awful lot was done on the climate. I certainly don't think things are better. I think if anything, people are more worried about the future in terms of the supply of our own energy sources, as opposed to worrying about, you know, the temperature rising 2 degrees across the next 8,000 years.
But isn't it almost a little bit egotistical to think that we can change the Earth's climate?
Well,
I mean, one way or the other.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if the Earth decides it's going to do this, I mean, it's a big, huge ball floating through space, right? Mm. And yeah, we probably did some bad things to pollute it and all of that, right? But that's only been in the last, 150 years?
Yes.
Roughly.
Yes, it's the Industrial Revolution. Yeah. That's when we really kind of ramped up the littering. Yeah.
And so the Earth's been around forever, right? And we're not going to get into that argument, how old the Earth is. But let's say, you know, whatever you want to choose. And then all of a sudden we just screwed it up. I don't know. And then we're also egotistical enough to say, well, we screwed it up. Now we can fix
it.
And the earth saying, really, really, guys? I mean, it's like Mike McCarthy trying to coach the Cowboys, apparently, and say, run up the middle on that last play and don't worry about the fact that we have no timeouts and all that mess. I mean, that's kind of how I look at
it. Now, obviously, the big focus in inauguration for Biden was how he was going to handle the pandemic.
Right.
You know, things were pretty bleak and unknown. The vaccination had only been available for about a month at that point in time.
What was it available, though?
Yeah, 1 million people, I think, roundabouts, were vaccinated by Biden's inauguration.
Okay.
So I think it had only been out roughly about a month, maybe.
Gotcha. Okay. It's been so long ago, I can't even remember.
Yeah, and he made a pretty blunt statement about, you know, anybody who has 400,000 deaths on their watch should be impeached, shouldn't be president. Now, obviously, he's had more deaths on his watch now than Trump had, but, you know, those rules only go one way.
Right.
But, you know, it's turned almost comical now. Recently, the whole thing with the testing kits, sending kits. I don't know if you've heard that. You know, he's planning to send half a dozen kits, testing kits, to every home in America, which is great if everybody needs kits, but I don't need a kit. My wife doesn't need a kit. You don't need a kit. Your wife doesn't need a kit. So there's going to be a lot of kits sent out to people who really don't need them. And the people who maybe do need them because they have to provide a test a couple of times a week, you know, a kind of like negative
job
test
thing. Yeah.
Those people, why not have something online, literally a standard database where somebody can go in, fill out their information on the front end system, say, I have to report in twice a week. Please send me like 20 masks, 30 masks. I don't fill it out. You don't fill it out. So they don't have to allocate those useless testing kits to you and I.
Yeah, but are you telling me, even though I don't opt into this, I'm going to get them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're going to get them?
Yeah.
But we're not going to do anything with them.
I'm going to test fruit and vegetables with it because apparently quite a few fruit and vegetables can turn out coronavirus positive.
What about the dogs? You should test
my old dog.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be the least dangerous of anything she's got because I'm pretty sure she's got hepatitis.
Yeah. No, that seems like a waste of funds. But I mean, I think no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, I think everybody can agree the government is very good at wasting money. I mean, you've got, number one, my wife. Number two, the federal government, as far as who can waste money the most.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Now, there is maybe a plan that he's sending one mask out to each person as well. So if you want a day's worth of mask, then, you know.
And I heard some weird deal about that whole mask thing that, you know, you can go to CVS or Walgreens and get free masks now. Like, the whole one thing I kind of liked about the masks, honestly, was all of the creative people that came out and said, hey, I'm going to put my logo on a mask. I'm going to create funny masks. I'm going to make a mask that a woman could wear that looks like a mustache and a beard and all that. And it was kind of fun. You know, it's like, oh, nice mask and everything. Now we're going back to the boring masks. Mm-mm. That part kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Let's admit. I mean, some of the masks were pretty funny. You know, or you could, you know, your favorite sports team or whatever. And now we're going to go back to the boring masks?
Well, not here in Texas because barely anybody wears them anyway.
Well, yeah. But I haven't seen a mask in a while.
Yeah, I mean, the CDC actually came out, I don't know if it was yesterday afternoon or this morning, and said that from what they could see, the pandemic is near being over. They think it will peak before the spring and go on a complete spiral
there. We're almost done with 2 weeks of flattening the curve.
We're
at the 2 year mark, so we're almost done with those 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's been a long 2 weeks, let's be honest.
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't got Omicron yet, I think you can actually request a sample of that
to come
through the mail to you, so you can go ahead and take your chances and get that instead of the
I'm guessing vaccine. You don't have to have a Amazon Prime account to get that, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But if you're ordering it for your whole family, you know, you're going to want to take advantage of the free shipping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, anything coming free shipping.
Right.
And free, I mean, why not go
I don't know what they send Omicron in through the mail, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's a good point. What does it? Maybe fruit.
Well, I did actually, I can't remember who said it, but some idiot proposed that among the unvaccinated, that Omicron was actually transmitting over great distances, almost like teleporting from one person to another. There was that theory. I don't know whether some idiot on TV or a politician, but
you never know. Mm. So we got Biden's speech that he had, and I mean, what a state of kind of disrepair we're in right now. I mean, everybody's confused. You know, red hates blue, right? You know, left hates right, all that stuff. I don't think we're ever going to get past this unless some things change.
Well, I want to read, I think he said this right towards the end of his inauguration speech. I can't honestly tell you because I turned off after a point. So I think this was the last thing I heard, and I'm actually going to read this so I don't mess it up. Said, today at this time, let's start afresh, all of us. Politics doesn't have to be a raging fire destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural against urban, conservative against liberals. So since being called the dirty, unwashed, unvaxxed, and being a racist for not supporting voting rights bill, which doesn't actually give anybody any rights that they don't already have, how unified do you feel a year later?
I don't think anything's changed in several years, unfortunately. I mean, one of the things that I look at and one of the struggles that I have, especially with the media, is you don't know who to trust, right? And knowing Grant was going to be coming on the show, I was looking through some articles. I know you did, you know, more research than I think you've ever done since we've actually done the podcast. So congrats on that. 25 minutes maybe? I mean, that was
I was playing Candy Crush during the middle.
I was trying to make you sound like you're doing. Yeah, 25 minutes. Yeah. Okay. I did read an article that I don't think would shock anyone, and please look this up. I don't remember the university that put this out. But it was talking about, once again, distrust in the media, right? And it's down to like 40% of people believe what the media says. Mm. And it's ironic that we have all these media outlets. And I know, you know, we're going to have Grant on the show here in a minute. And, you know, he's part of a media outlet. And so you're going to have people on the left say, well, he's from Newsmax. We can't believe him. And then you'd have people on the right say, oh, well, this person's from CNN. We can't believe them. My big question is, why can't we have truly unbiased media that just say, hey, here's what happened?
I think it's just very difficult for people to ignore huge amounts of money thrown their way. I think if anybody starts getting remotely popular, people try to buy into that popularity to gain influence and also, you know, kind of piggyback on that person's followers. And I think, you know, any politician who comes in with pure motives quickly realizes that to get anywhere in the world of politics, you're going to be influenced by the people who donate, you know, to your campaign. Sure. I mean, that's why you have professional lobbyists. Right. You know, if politicians wore jackets like NASCAR racers, you know, obviously you could see everybody who's sponsoring them. And I guess it's a difficult thing when you're given goodness knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to just a lot of the time not speak out about things. It's not so much as what you say and what you promote, but what you don't speak out against. These right. people pay you for.
No, it makes total sense. And it's kind of sad, right? I mean, they've got jobs, right? They've got to pay the bills. So, it doesn't matter. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, all of them, right? They've got bills to pay. They've got employees to pay. We live in a capitalist society, and this is obviously not some kind of a pro-socialism thing where the government controls the news, because we look back at the Constitution and we see, you know, in the Bill of Rights, number one, you know, yes, freedom of speech, but freedom of the press, right? So the press has to have that freedom to say what they want to say. They have bills to pay. So we get that, and they don't want to piss off the people that are paying their bills. But then that end user, so to speak, depending on who's paying the bills, is how that's slanted.
Yeah.
And it can get confusing. I'm always a proponent of, okay, Dallas Cowboys lost the football game. Still a little depressed on that, but story for another time. You can read, even as simple as that, you could have watched that game live. You could have seen the Dallas Cowboys lost. There are 900 different opinions as to why they lost. Why that last play was a mess. Was it the ref's fault? Was it the coach's fault? Was it Dak Prescott's fault? All kinds of opinions. But the fact was, at the end of the game, they still lost. Why do we have to interject so many opinions into facts of what happened?
Do you know what the best headline I saw for that loss was?
What?
The Cowboys lose in the most Cowboys way possible.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, and you got your Cowboys haters and you got your Cowboys lovers. It's like, you know, hey, we did the best we could and we looked at our sheet and it was 14 seconds left on the clock. It was a 13-second play and this, that, and the other. But now you take that one play, right, and we're not a sports podcast by any means, but I'm still just bent out of shape about that loss. But Cowboys had a lot of penalties and everything else. That's really why they lost the game. It had nothing to do with that last play. But we've now spun that around to say this is why they lost this last play of the game. Let's take McCarthy out and, you know, crucify him and all of this stuff when we're missing the forest for the tree.
Well, I can understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I can understand people giving, you know, a viewpoint which has some bias and some slant in it, because it's almost impossible to find anybody who doesn't practice a certain level of cognitive dissonance or confirmation bias. What I have an issue with is the out-and-out lies, which they know are lies. I mean, let's take the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, right? Joe Scarborough, Good Morning America, he said that Kyle Rittenhouse fired 60 rounds.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now,
I mean, I didn't know he said right. that.
Now, I don't care how familiar you are with guns. 60 rounds sounds like a lot. Now, if you are familiar with guns, you know that 60 rounds is a lot. Didn't recant that story. He got people thinking, here's this white kid going out firing 60 rounds at random protesters specifically targeting black people. That's how they left it.
Right.
Knew it was complete BS, left it as it was. Yeah. And that's my problem. I understand people are going to have bias. Well,
and you and I both agree on the problem. Look, everybody's going to have their opinion. Everybody's going to be a little bit biased. They're going to say, I feel this way, I feel that way. But you can't lie.
Right.
You can't lie, and I think that's what's going on.
And they didn't misspeak. It wasn't like somebody fed them the wrong things, because the number 6 comes nowhere into it, yeah. Right? Somebody wrote that. Somebody was paid to write that, or that was from his own back or in his own opinion. And he relied on, like most mainstream media networks rely on, that over 80% of people won't fact-check anything they hear.
Right.
Even if it sounds ridiculous, they won't fact-check it.
Right. Or they rely on fact checkers to fact check.
Who are sometimes worse than the people who have said the fact they need to check in the first place. But just kind of winding up with the whole Biden thing. I know we didn't go into too much detail about the inauguration speech and last night's speech. But like I said, to me, it just seemed a reverse engineering of trying to meet the promises. He exclaimed that no other president in history has done as much as him, which I do agree with him on, but not in the positive light. He was trying to promote it.
Fair enough.
And I think Greg's going to, you know, shed some light on
maybe Grant, not Greg.
Greg. Sorry, Grant.
And speaking of Grant, let's go ahead and bring Grant in on the podcast here. We're really kind of pleasured to have him here.
We're pleasured to have him here.
I know that sounded terrible, didn't it? Grateful.
Let's cut off and redo where I messed up with Greg, because I don't want to.
Well, no, we can't do that. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Joining us right now, we have Grant Stinchfield from Newsmax Media. Grant, glad you could take some time out of your day to talk to us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
So, Grant, I wanted to launch immediately into Biden's speech yesterday. I don't know if you sat through the glorious 3 hours of it, or you took bullet points. What did you think overall?
I mean, look, I thought he rambled and bumbled his way through it. I mean, there wasn't a lot of news other than he gave Vladimir Putin the go-ahead to invade Ukraine. Go figure. I knew he'd be weak on that. But he says a lot about nothing. I mean, many times it's painful to watch him. Words come out of his mouth, but he's not really saying much of anything. You can see his wheels turning, trying to figure out what to say. I did think the most important question asked there was by my buddy James Rose from Newsmax, who asked him, with all due respect, there's all this polling, people aren't confident in your mental capacity. Why is that? And he literally says, I don't know, and then moves on. I mean, he needed to address that question, and just his simple answer of I don't know tells you all you need to know about his mental capacity. He's just not there to think on his feet. And it is the question that everybody wants to know. Is Joe Biden mentally there? Is he calling the shots? Is he capable of it? I actually believe the man's a national security risk. And so I think he proved it yesterday.
Yeah, I think, you know, but some of us, we can take the kind of befuddledness over minor issues. Like, I really don't care if he sends me a free mask in the mail. You know, it's not going to make or break my week. You know, we live in Texas. We're kind of a little bit over that mask thing for the most part. But the Ukraine thing, he pretty much gave a green light for a minor excursion, as he phrased it. This has opened up a whole can of worms, and there's been a little bit of backtracking with the White House since. But where do you see that situation going now?
He was already, well, first off, on the masks, think about this. He's announced he's going to mail everybody a mask. At the same time, Boris Johnson in England is saying we're doing away with all the masks and the mandates. And it just really looks bad. It used to be America leads, no more. I mean, clearly we've got other smaller countries leading where Joe Biden can't. On the Russia-Ukraine front, there's no going back now anymore. He's already been so weak from the moment that he took office. No matter how tough he talks, Vladimir Putin is not going to believe him. So I predicted yesterday on the radio show, I think I did it on the Newsmax show as well. You've got Germany saying, hey, you go into the Ukraine, we're gonna shut this pipeline down. Now think about this. Germany, Europe needs that natural gas coming from Russia. They're desperate for it. Russia needs the income from that gas. Their economy, 45% of it will rely on that energy going to Europe. But I don't think Europe has the stones to actually shut it down. We now know for sure Biden doesn't have the stones to shut it down, which leads me to believe there's no doubt in my mind that Vladimir Putin's going to go into the Ukraine and absolutely nothing will happen. And it all started when Joe Biden shut down oil production in the United States. We could have been providing Europe with liquefied natural gas. They need it desperately. We could have been sending them liquefied natural gas, and it wouldn't have had to rely on Russia, and we would have been in a much stronger position. But everything this administration does is from a position of weakness, and that's never good, especially when you're America.
One thing that I caught during that whole piece was Biden talking about sending $600 million worth of support over there, whether it was, you know, money, whether it was equipment or whatever. And then he kind of slipped up and said, yeah, but that might not even matter because Putin can just march right over there and take it over anyway.
This is what I mean. I mean, the mixed messages coming out of this administration is really putting us in harm's way. It's putting the people of Ukraine in harm's way, and it's putting Europe in harm's way. So Joe Biden, clearly, I think we learned anything yesterday. It's that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing up there.
Now, this is the first war for quite some time where we might actually experience a sting in the tail if it all kicks off. I mean, at this moment in time, it seems like it's inevitable. But what's it really going to mean for us if Russia invades Ukraine and it's a large-scale invasion and they're intent on holding on to the land there? I mean, what does it actually mean for us?
Well, the only thing it means for us is we lose credibility with our allies. Look, the United States doesn't want to go to war with Russia. Russia's now very closely aligned with China. The last thing we need is a war with China. China doesn't want to go to war with us. We're both heavily reliant on each other. America far too reliant on China, by the way, for so many things. You talk about the mask he's sending out. I think on the boxes it says made in China. So I don't think it's going to really have any effect on us as American citizens when they go in. But it certainly is going to have an effect on America's credibility on the world stage, that we have an obligation to stick up for the Ukraine and we're not going to do it. You watch, we're not. The Ukraine is going to get, they're going to run right over them, and we're not going to do anything about it, and Europe's not going to do anything about it. There won't be World War III, and the people that will suffer will be the Ukraine, and Russia will gain more power. And it all could have been prevented if Joe Biden would have led from a position of strength.
Now, obviously, he was still a little upset about, you know, the whole voting bill thing not going through the Senate, or a vote not being allowed on it. Now, is this going to be dropped at this point? I mean, they say about ripping all these bills into shreds and trying to pass them in individual little pieces without all the fluff. But do you think this bill is ever going to go through?
I don't think it goes away. This is an election rigging scheme that they're trying to institute across America. The easiest way to do it was federalize the elections on behalf of the Democrats. I think you're going to see it play out in state houses, places where Democrats control the state house. They will pass legislation that will set in stone the mail-in ballot scheme, as I call it. But Chuck Schumer last night, without getting into the details, he went through so many Hoyle's rules of order, so many tricks and maneuvers to try to get this thing passed. They're not going to give up on this, because they know if they can push in a mass mail-in ballot scheme, that we as patriots, as hardworking Americans that value hard work and perseverance, the sad reality is in America, we're outnumbered. And so the reason we would win elections is because we were engaged and passionate enough to get to the polls. The reason they lose is they've got lazy folks who want to take handouts from the government, and they don't care about voting. But now if you could send a kid playing video games in his mom's basement a ballot, and some Democrat operative can go to that house, fill it out for him, pick it up, and stick it in a Zuckerberg-funded box, we're never going to win an election again. So they're not going to give up on this. Not a chance.
It's kind of interesting you bring up we're outnumbered. Do you really believe that you know, we're now getting to the point, as you point out, patriots, right, that the number of patriots versus the number of non-patriots, let's say, that we're getting outnumbered? Is that where we're headed?
I'm sad to say it absolutely is true. We're in the minority. The people sticking up for our rights today are the ones who are brave. You got the wolf there. You know, if you look at wolves, sadly, I think the Democrats are the ones that actually like wolves. I prefer to be a sheepdog to protect the flock from the wolves. And the issue is that we don't have a lot of sheepdogs in America. I'm not asking everyone to be a leader. It takes exceptional people to be leaders. We'd be lost if we didn't have soldiers. Think about it. An army wouldn't work if everybody was a leader. But what I want are passionate, engaged people that believe in America, believe in the values that this country was founded on. That is a dying breed. There are more people, far more people, that would rather be watching TMZ than Newsmax or Fox News. That's just the hard reality. There are far more people sitting on their couch playing Fortnite today than there are people sitting about how they're going to go make a speech to their local school board and fight for their kids' education. We're totally outnumbered. And so they know we're outnumbered, and they know if they can rig the system so the lazy folks will get a say in all of it, we'll never win again.
Yeah,
I hate to break the news to you, but it's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've got a problem on the right in that we play too nice. We try to abide by the rules. And, you know, each time those rules are broken by the other side, we keep giving free passes. There's almost nothing the left can do where we actually call them, you know, to account in the same way they would to us. But, you know, if there's one thing which might unite the country, it's Hillary running again. Now, she was obviously disliked by most of her own party last time out. And, you know, a lot of the center support shifted because she was so disliked. If she does run again, is it going to be impossible for Trump to resist running against her?
I think it's going to be impossible for Trump to resist running. I really think he's going to run again. All indications are. I had the opportunity to spend some time with him just a few minutes, a few weeks ago. And just from the conversation I have with him, he sounds like a guy who's planning on running. He didn't tell me he is, but he sounds like a guy who's planning on running. So I think he'd love to run against Hillary. I think it would be great for us. But here's Hillary's play. Hillary's play is she's going to come out as the anti-extreme left candidate for the Democrats. She's going to say the AOCs, everybody else, you're all nuts. Nobody else is going to be able to challenge Joe Biden if he decides on running again, if he makes it that far. You can't have Pete Buttigieg. He's in the administration. What's he going to do? Run against Joe Biden? Not going to happen. You can't have the Cory Bookers do it. They're not going to go against their leader like that. But Hillary Clinton could. She could take a lane as a so-called moderate. Be very careful because she's not one, but she'll play that role. And Dick Morris, who comes on the Newsmax show all the time, actually thinks that Bill Clinton thought up this strategy for her because, as he said, Hillary's not smart enough to think of it. So she'll take this moderate lane and she'll try to split the party apart. And, you know, who knows? Maybe she beats him in a primary.
Now, whoever wins, I mean, it's going to be basically a revenge full 4 years afterwards. Trump's going to start, you know, getting back at some of these people who have persecuted him, and rightfully so, because it's been pretty shameful the way he's been treated, the way his kids have been treated. But also Hillary is going to be looking to do some damage. You know, she's got vendetta against Trump, vendetta against Republicans. Is it going to be the worst case scenario if she wins?
If she wins? Oh, I'm not even thinking about it. There's no way we can allow it to happen. I mean, just I don't see her. I don't see her winning an election in 2024. I really don't. She may be able to beat Joe Biden in a primary, but if President Trump or anybody runs against her, there's no way. She's the most disliked woman in America today. And, you know, in many respects, she's getting really old. I don't think she's as sharp tack that she once was either.
A beautiful segue for my question. It's almost like we planned this. Hillary 74, Biden's in his 80s, Trump's in his 80s. Why can't we find anybody a little bit younger? I'm not saying put a 35-year-old in there based off the Constitution. You got to be 35. But what happened to trying to find somebody a little bit younger that, you know, has some education, all that good stuff? Why do we keep just putting all these career politicians in these spots versus getting somebody in there a little bit younger with some open ideas?
We sadly have a uni-party system in America. Republicans and Democrats, at least party leadership, really aren't all that different. They want power. They're not working for us. They're working for them. So they put self-interest above national interest every day of the week. So it's ever whose turn is it to run? Now, on behalf of the Republicans, I will say it's a little different this time around because President Trump, who already held office for one term, would be, you know, the rightful guy to try to make a run at this if he wants to run again. And I will also say, President Trump sure doesn't seem like he's a guy in his 80s. I mean, that guy has energy like you wouldn't believe. I mean, even if you look at him in the golf course, I get that he's not in that much shape, in the greatest shape of the world, but he doesn't move like an 80-year-old either. You know who does move like an 80-year-old? Joe Biden. And the difference between them is crazy to watch. But Republicans have a much deeper bench than Democrats do. And all you have to do is go down to Ron DeSantis. I think if President Trump decides he's not going to run, you'd see the governor of Florida running instead.
Now, before we go today, Grant, I just wanted to bring up the biggest cancer I think we've got in society at the moment, and that's the cancel culture and the woke society, because it's creating division where division didn't exist 5 years ago. This came out of the blue, blindsided everybody. But one article I did read a couple of days ago was the new Harry Potter series of movies. They want to make Harry Potter's mom, they're going to have her played by a transgender lady. Now, I'm not sure which direction the lady is going, so I can't really comment on that. But it's going to be one heck of a magic trick, them explaining how Harry came out of his dad's vagina. I'm just not sure where everything's going at this point now.
Yeah, so this is what I mean when it's going to take everyday Americans to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. And that's going to be parents saying, you know what, I'm not buying my kid this Harry Potter book, or we're not going to watch this Harry Potter movie. And until people start doing that, nothing's going to change. On the program last night, I had a guy on. His name's Gabe El Taib. He was a DC comic book artist, very, very successful. Once he saw Superman and Batman sidekick Robin be turned into bisexuals, I don't know if you've seen this, they took away the phrase truth, justice, and the American way and turned truth, justice altogether or something like that. He quit. He said, I'm leaving. So just last night he announced they've got a new comic book coming out called Truth, Justice, and the American Way. They took the phrase from DC Comics. That's the name of the characters. And the characters are going to be an old-fashioned superhero characters that represent American values. The American Way character is a man of steel. And guess what? He comes from a Pennsylvania steel town. And this is the kind of thing we need to start doing. Have people like that start making their own way, our own movies, our own comic books, our own books, and hopefully people wake up and start buying those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Grant, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us. Can you let everybody know how to find out more about you, you know, your website, social media, all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Social media, Stinchfield 1776, just about on every platform. Stinchfield 1776, Newsmax, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch it on almost any cable satellite provider. And then we stream for free everywhere, whether it's just the website or any of the smart TVs. You can stream Newsmax on for nothing. Very different from the other cable outlets. And then I do radio in Los Angeles, AM 870 from 6 to 9 Los Angeles time. The app is out there for that show too. So a lot of places to get me. I really appreciate you guys inviting me on, and I appreciate what you guys are doing to bring the fight to the left.
Hey, appreciate that. Thank you so much, Grant. We'll be in touch, and have a good one.
Thank you, Grant, for coming on. We really appreciate the time. We know you're a busy man. And as we mentioned, you can catch Grant on Newsmax on, is it 8 o'clock Eastern time?
It's Eastern time.
Eastern time. For those of you in Texas, 7 p.m. Central time, the only time that matters.
That's true.
Yep. And we will post all of the links to Grant's social media. That will be across Facebook, Instagram, on our YouTube, and also on our website at www.thewolfandtheshepherd.com.
Yeah. Kind of cool that Grant could find some time out of his day to come hang out with us. I mean, it's an interesting way to look, you know, from that side of the aisle. I mean, we all know Grant's on that side of the aisle. Still kind of interesting to me how polarized media is. And even though kind of err on the side of the fact that Grant's got a lot of good points, like I kind of agree with him, right?
Yeah, he does. I mean, I watch his show intermittently during the week, and you know, he doesn't pull any punches, which is a great thing. And you know, it's very few news anchors, short of reading a script and taking an angle that they're paid to take, that you actually feel much passion and belief in news anchors. And I think Grant does do a good job of actually putting passion into what he's reading. You know, he cares about what he's reading.
But really and truly, there's only one news anchor I can think about that I really get behind and firmly believe everything they say, and that's Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that guy, he has San Diego. He cares about San Diego. I mean, we care about what Ron Burgundy has to say.
Well, let's put it this way. Nobody ever had to fact check Ron Burgundy.
Oh, that's true. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Well, hey, we appreciate y'all tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We hope y'all enjoyed this. A little bit different format than we're used to, but I think we had some fun with it, and hopefully we can do some more shows like this in the future. If you're watching on YouTube, please click on our logo down there in the right-hand corner and subscribe to our channel. And with that, we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.